Let's go.
Broadcasting from the center of the universe. His universe.
Much better.
He's 90% bourbon and 10% man. It's the Ricky Worley Show.
Oh, my Lord.
Here's your host, Ricky Worley.
So I'm just going to come out with it. We started taping the show, except we didn't start taping the show.
Except you started drinking about 30 minutes ago. Yeah, maybe that's why.
That's the problem. So yeah, we started the show and I looked down at the computer and I go, oh shit, forgot to hit record. So that's how...
Can I just say this? This is the first show I've ever been on where the host said, we were taping, but we weren't taping. here's the show.
What is it they say, that Jim Beam, the devil's cut or whatever? That was the devil's cut. We'll never see that again.
Yeah.
So, so that voice that you're hearing is Jersey's bad boy of comedy. He's running for president 2024. Pretty excited about this. He's an actor, stand-up comedian. He's the host of the podcast Live from My Mother's Basement. I'm stoked to have him on the Ricky Worley Show. Mike Marino, welcome to the show again.
It's nice to be back.
Nice to be back.
Mike, I want to be your communications person, okay, on your campaign.
I remember the last time I was on this show.
Yeah, it's about two minutes ago.
Not so long ago.
How can I forget? What a time. Remember how it all started?
Yeah.
It's like Groundhog Day.
I'm having deja vu.
The funniest beginning of a show that no one ever heard.
Let's do this all over again. So we're going to have a dry... I'm obviously drinking already. Mike, you were telling us about what you're drinking, some new drink you found.
Yeah, it's called Polar, and by that company, Polar.
And so they make, like, soda waters, right?
Correct. It's a seltzer.
Okay.
It has a little added alcohol, which is what I added.
A little magic
to
it.
But it tastes like tangerine, and you can put a little vodka in there.
And I'm having my Hawaiian bourbon I was telling you guys about that I brought back from Hawaii, which apparently I need to stop drinking it. But
yeah.
Were you really in Hawaii? How do you even get to Hawaii?
Yeah,
it was off limits.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. You've got to do a COVID test, and you have to take it within 72 hours, I think, of arriving in Hawaii. And they don't guarantee that you'll get it back in 72 hours. So you book your flight, you book your hotel, and you just pray to God that you get your test back in time. So
I just went and had the old COVID-19 shot, the Moderna.
Oh, yeah. The first one?
It hurt, man. Yeah, the first one.
How long was your arm sore?
It still is sore. It's 2 days later.
Any other side effects other than that?
Yeah, the day I got it, I guess I got it Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, and then all day on Sunday, I had a really bad headache, and I was nauseous. I had a 101 fever, and I was just miserable.
Yikes.
Like as if they put COVID in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those were the symptoms I had when I had COVID.
It's kind of like
COVID was brutal. I mean, I had the 2 weeks of being sick. I had the fever. The petrifying thing was not being able to taste food, and all I thought was, am I really that bad of a cook? What did I do?
Keep loading it up with salt and nothing.
Yeah, right? It's salted. I'm like, there's so much salt on this, but I don't taste anything. I had like a stack of peanut butter cups near my bed, near the kitchen, so every day I would sample one because it's a potent taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To let me know that my taste came back.
Now, Mike, how is your mom? You're so into your mom, and Mother's Day's coming up. Let's talk about your mom. How is she doing?
That's where all the comedy comes from, mommy. And my parents are both from Italy, so they talk like a dice. You know, growing up in New Jersey, where half the state's Italian. At least I thought it was. It's just fun to make fun of your family, which is really not making fun of them. You're just talking about the way that they are.
You're just telling the stories.
It's just tell
that's
the
right.
stories. We grew up in the basement. Everybody in the area has a basement. And that's where you had the older kitchen. Upstairs is the good kitchen for the nice people.
Is that where you make the sauce, downstairs?
They would make it downstairs, yeah. It takes a couple days.
Yeah.
Makes the whole house smell.
Yeah.
Garlic. Mm. And, you know, quite honestly, I miss those days. We grew up in this house. I own the house I grew up in.
I always thought that garlic was like an Italian aphrodisiac. You just put a little on your neck and you're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it keeps the vampires away, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Double duty.
Hey, that could be a good joke, an Italian vampire. I want to lick you.
There we go.
Suck your blood. I want the pasta and the sauce. What blood?
Oh,
telling jokes on your show.
I know. We get 10% of that, I think. I think that was in the agreement here.
I wanted to come up with some new jokes about being president of the United States because I like doing jokes about what I would do to run the country.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it would be funny if I changed Air Force One to the Gobble Ghoul flight. I drive myself. All right, everybody, sit down. Put plastic on the chairs.
I was going to say, yeah, if you decked it out, there would be plastic on the sofas.
My mother's in the galley making macaroni. Shut up.
Yelling at everyone.
No staircase. You get an elevator because we don't want nobody to trip.
Yeah. God, that was painful. That was hard to watch.
How sad is that? I mean, once is bad, but three?
Yeah.
The poor guy.
Like, I wanted to put circus music to it. It was like watching, you know, the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the guy. That's not even funny.
Yeah.
I know.
That's not even funny.
It was rough to watch.
I know. Right.
There's too many cameras everywhere these days.
I watched it. I said, I know his shins are black and blue.
Oh.
You know it.
Could you imagine the camera on the plane when he walked in? Mama.
Yeah.
I'll kill somebody. Yeah. Stop laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah, guy's got a temper. So I saw an interesting statistic the other day. I was reading this article, and they said 10% of daters surveyed said having a cracked cell phone is a major turnoff, like if your screen's shattered.
Oh, wait a minute. So 90% of daters say it's not a big deal?
I guess
I think it's
all
a big
right.
deal.
I can't imagine, well, I'm a guy, so a girl.
Being
a girl
like, nah.
Getting turned off. Mike, I really like you.
But.
I think you're a great guy. But your phone is cracked.
It's busted.
I just can't see you the same way anymore. I used to look at you, and then I saw your phone. I'm like, what a jerk.
It's kind of like, I don't think it would be a deal breaker early on, but it's kind of a sign that you don't take care of stuff. I don't know.
Or
maybe it's just me.
You have a good time. I mean, Cynthia had a phone, my wife, and she went out with one of her friends drinking, had a good time, came back, her phone shattered. I'm like, well, then that means she's a good time, no?
Well, that's true. I would not want to be judged if mine were broken.
How do you know I didn't take my phone and crack somebody in the head?
Exactly.
That could be the reason.
Right?
Well, that's a red flag. Hello.
Yeah. I was defending myself.
There you go. And I would do
I was
the
mad
same.
At somebody.
Yeah,
so I'm the queen of red flags, having written a book, How to Leave an Asshole. So.
Really?
Anyway.
I'm
yeah.
writing this down. I got to go get you a book because I have none but assholes in my life.
I'll send you a copy.
No, I really want a copy of this book. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll send you a copy. I'm going to autograph it to you. Yeah, if you ever need to leave an asshole, I hope you never have to. So.
No, I want to leave. I got to get out of here. I'm not even kidding. I'll promote your book on my show tomorrow. How to Leave an Asshole. What is that the name of it?
Yeah.
That's the name of it.
Wow, Ricky's. That's the greatest title ever.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm seriously writing down because I actually had a conversation. Now, this doesn't mean you're in a relationship with an asshole. There's assholes everywhere.
Yeah, not just romantically involved.
Right.
Like a friend.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
I had an acquaintance in Florida who was coming to my shows quite often, and we would go out to dinner from time to time. And one day he asked me if I wanted to go to dinner at this place where his friend has this famous restaurant and his friend's a famous restaurateur. And so I said to him, you know, that's really great, but, you know, your friend actually asks me on the internet to come. Because don't forget, you know, I'm a little bit of a popular comedian, and they do want me to come.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places that want me to come. Quite honestly, I just don't want to go. When I'm not performing, I don't want to be a celebrity. I want to be Mike.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll go, but I'm really only going to meet him. Otherwise, I'd rather not go. And he got offended by it, and he never called me again. And I kept calling him to say, what's the matter? What's the matter? So today, he texted me. I was mad because you said you would go to meet him. It had nothing to do with me. And I go, yeah, because me and you are buddies. We can go out to dinner whenever you want. I don't really need to go see this guy. And he threw a fit. And he kept texting me and texting me and texting me. Till finally, I said, you know, I hate to tell you this, tough guy, but shouldn't you pick up the phone and call me? I'm in my 50s.
It's like you're dating, that you're in the silent treatment.
Yeah, pick up the phone and call me. We could hash this out. Talk to me like a gentleman. Oh, you're disrespecting me. Okay, fine. I hate to tell you this, but maybe you wanted me to go with you because of who I am. It's not the reverse. I don't need to go to dinner with anybody. I don't care.
Good for you.
I'm in this business since I'm 5 years old. Do you know how many celebrities I'm friends with?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're all just human beings. We're just people. You could be famous in February and be nobody in August. It's just the way it is.
That's true.
Why I go on everybody's talk show. I try to be friends with everybody in the industry or just outside the industry, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. You never know who you don't know.
That's the way I grew up.
Well,
that's why I got to get this book. It's called How to Leave an Asshole.
It's
a problem.
Oh gosh.
It seems like the asshole got rid of himself for you.
He did. He said, you're so disrespectful. Disrespectful? Pick up your phone. You know, you can't hear someone's inflection via text.
Right, right.
You know, so if I said to you, I don't like you in a text,
you
maybe
could take
I
that,
said,
yeah.
Oh, I don't like you, which is a cute thing. See?
Or, I don't like you.
So, yes. I don't like you.
Well, you're a comedian. Everyone could take everything that you say as a joke.
A joke.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's so funny. He's just making me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he didn't pick up the phone because his screen was shattered and he couldn't get a date.
That is the greatest callback. That is a phenomenal callback. I love when entertainers like yourself do that.
Circle nice back. Callback. Circle back.
Let's see if we can't circle back to the fact that you started the show without recording.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go way back. Let's go way back.
We're not going to let you forget this, Ricky.
Ah, crap.
You know, here's a quick story if you want to know this.
Yeah.
I was in a supermarket, and there were the two ladies working in the aisle, and they were working by the toothpaste. And they were talking to each other, and I wanted to go buy those things that you put on your teeth. They brighten your teeth, you know?
Yeah, the yeah. white strips, yeah.
The white strips. So I didn't go down the aisle because I didn't want to interrupt them. But they're employees. I'm supposed to interrupt, but
yeah.
I didn't. So I just went down a different aisle, got something else. I came back. They were still in the aisle. I didn't want to interrupt them, so I walked out of the aisle again. I came back to the aisle, and one lady looks up, and she goes, sir, can I help you with something? And I go, well, I wanted to get the white strips, but you guys are standing in front of it, and I didn't want to disrupt you. They looked at me and said, what? I said, well, yeah, I don't want to disrupt you. I know you guys are talking and you're doing your job, but I would really like to get the white strips, so I was waiting for you to finish. And the lady goes, nobody's that nice. Nobody.
Aww.
And I go, yep, well, I am. And then they double take. Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
You're the bad boy.
My name is Mike. Actually, the girl who gave me the COVID shot, she must have been 21, and I was the first one in the line. So there were like five people waiting to get the COVID shot. And she goes to stick my arm, and she's got this huge smile on her face. And I go, is it funny to stab somebody with that needle? And she goes, no, I really wish I could get an autograph. I'm like, can you fake the needle? Can you say I got it and
it's
I didn't?
I'll give you the autograph. You give me the paper. Give me the card.
Give me the paper.
Yeah.
She put the picture all over Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
sweet. And I look
like
a chicken. I'm like, ow, ow, ow. I'm supposed to be a tough guy. You're going to kill my image.
Oh.
Well, have you guys been watching this Bridgerton show or heard of it? This Netflix show?
Yes. I don't know. I stumbled upon it.
So it's all a buzz. It's basically softcore porn on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Well, parts of it are. Not
like in England or something?
Yeah, yeah. So it's set in like the 1800s England, yeah. And it's like kind of like a coming of age story or like a womanhood. She like gets married and didn't know what happens after you get married. Hence the
Am I the only one here who has watched it?
I've seen the first few episodes, yeah.
Okay.
I've seen the commercials. And now that you told me about it, I think I'd like to do a parody on it. Well, you know, these days, they're saying a lot of people are offended by different people because they're not all in the same project. So they added everybody they could to the projects. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't see any Italians from Jersey in it.
That is true.
Yeah.
There are not.
I think it would be funny. I'd be like, excuse me, what's with the tea? I drink coffee.
Well, you do movies and TV, so they should hire you.
I try to think how that character is going to fit its way into this show.
He could be the wine butler or something like that.
Oh, there you go. The sommelier.
You're right. I'll play the kitchen hand. Hey, what do you think of the pastas? Good.
Well, speaking of this Bridgerton buzz, I was just reading this article right before we came on the show, and this company called Zalo, they've got this perfect accessory to accompany your binge of Bridgerton on Netflix. I'm going to send you, I'm going to text this to you guys, an image of this accessory as I describe it. It is, so every detail of this remote-controlled couples massager offers powerful Bridgerton vibes. It's made of silicone with soft tech coating for an immediate touch of softness and an opulent feel. It's
got... What is that? Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow, I know.
Is this like a, and they call it Bridgerton or something? Or
no, so this is called the Fan Set. But as you can see, it has delicate French-style silicone embossing and gold-plated accents to elevate its visual appeal and its excitement. It comes in royal blue, rogue pink,
and red.
What you're looking at is bright red.
Yeah, fire engine red.
Uh-huh. So, so if you're a big fan of Bridgerton, this apparently is the accessory that goes along with it.
I don't possess either of these items, and I can't imagine like watching Bridgerton and saying, oh, hang on,
let me go grab this.
Yeah. No. No. I think I'm not, yeah, I'm very boring, I guess.
How dirty is this show?
Well, I think you're finding out.
Okay. I'm looking at the picture, and I've seen this before.
Uh-huh.
I won't say I've used it before, but I know how to use it.
Yeah. I've seen a video or two where they've used
it. I have to imagine how to use it. The big round thing, like, what do you do with
that? I'll send you a clip. I can show you how they use it.
That's the, the round thing is how you turn it on and turn it off.
Yeah, that's the remote, right? It's a...
Really? Oh, because that, see, I love to give massages, and so I could see, well, not like X-rated massages, and not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, but the big round thing, I could imagine like using that on someone's back, but I don't think that's what they use this for, right?
Does the big thing vibrate?
No, that's the hooking just, thing does.
Right, it goes a certain thing. Place.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This is for females, right?
Well, yes. I mean... Well. Anything can be used anywhere.
Anywho. Yeah.
It's very nice packaging.
It is nice. And it goes right along with the concept of Bridgerton. So it's very...
So
there's a thing here in this picture I've seen quite some time ago. Someone actually brought it to my house.
A device like this?
Yes, I forgot the name. But she came over and she said, here, could you do this? And I'm like, what is that? And it was called a Laylo.
Layla.
So the round thing is the mechanism. You turn that on and off. And the hooking thing goes in the female body part, whether it goes in the front and back or just the front.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go out on the town.
Oh, and someone can control it.
Yes. So if your friend
that was in a movie
having dinner and you're holding that round thing, you could go, bzz, 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 and she goes, oh, I'll have the cake. I'll have the steak.
Like that movie. I think it was, what was that movie? I can't remember. Was it Kate Hudson?
Well, I don't know, but I know that's a dynamite little thing there, and I could help you leave an asshole.
Yes.
You didn't start yet, did you?
Boy, I feel just like a little innocent here. I'm just... Yeah.
We're going to learn you a few things on the Ricky Worley Show.
I've already learned lots of things being on the Ricky Worley Show.
Sorry, this starts at $159, or you could get just the massager for $119 from Zalo. So there you go, your accessory for watching Bridgerton.
That's $100?
Yeah, it's $100.
That's fantastic. That's a good price. Where do you get it?
Zalo.com, I think.
Zalo.com.
Uh-huh. And that website, I had to go check it out, of course, do proper research for the show, and they sell all kinds of like very adorned royal looking toys. So the whole website is like these fancy, it's like a high-end sex shop, I guess.
Yeah, that is a great way to explain what I'm looking at. High-end vibrator.
Yes, yes.
Wait a minute. I don't want to see the low-end stuff. Oh, my gosh.
So we'll post this on Facebook and probably lose half our followers, but everyone needs to know about this.
I don't think so. I think you're going to get a lot more followers. Like, wow, very educational.
I just realized I'm never going to get a date because I'm, so ignorant of all this stuff.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to sell a lot of these now that people know you can't get a good date if your phone is broken. You don't need it no more. You could break your phone and get one of these.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
All right, we take a quick break. We'll get back more with Mike Marino and Ann Sharpstein's Got the News. We'll be back after this.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
And we're back here on the Ricky Worley Show. Comedian Mike Marino hanging out with us. We're going to talk about what he's got going on coming up in just a little bit. But first, Ann Sharpstein, she's got the news of the week. Take it away.
Sharon Osbourne was a guest on Bill Maher's show Real Time this week, and he was very vocal during that appearance and sharing his take on her being forced off her talk show. Now, he pointed out that he believes it's very ironic that her show, I guess, was called The Talk, because talking apparently can get you canned.
Yep.
So, and he went on in a very agitated manner to trash people who have suggested that Sharon is racist for siding with Piers Morgan. As you recall, Ricky and Mike, when Piers accused Meghan Markle of lying on the Oprah interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We've been talking about it for weeks.
Yeah, as this goes on, I'm starting to actually believe it a little bit more. Like, things are coming out, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't quite line up.
Starting to believe what?
What Piers is saying, that some of it was not entirely truthful.
Ah.
At first, I gave her the benefit of the doubt. I was like, all right, you know, that's her truth, whatever. It seems like it's
evolving.
I
like to support other women, but apparently 17 statements that were made on the interview were proven to be false. So anyway.
Well, listen, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that whole family dynamic is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that coming from an Italian family? You're like, hey, listen, you keep your mouth shut. You understand?
Say, you don't know Oprah, you don't talk to Oprah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You aren't even going.
Yeah.
We'll tell you can't make it.
Now, Bill Maher also mocked those who say that Sharon was denying Meghan her voice. And he said that that was just plain stupid on its face. So anyway, he was very vocal in continuing to share just kind of what he thinks. His take on the whole situation, if you got to wrap it up in one statement, is basically he says you either have to agree with and believe what Meghan says or you're a racist. And so that's his take on the whole matter.
I mean, it's kind of like a lot of things now. It's either this or that, and there's no in between, right?
Right. It seems to be. Now, I know you'll be interested in this, Ricky, because you're a big art collector. Several of the statues that Michael Jackson had at his Neverland Ranch are up for sale.
Now, I am interested in this because I'm thinking this is going to be some weird art. Just from what I know about rich people and the art that they buy.
Well, I took a look at the photos, by the way, but I'll tell you here in a second.
All right.
And now an organization by the name of Noble Art Lovers out of Dubai tells TMZ that a private collector has obtained, I'm not sure how, 28 pieces from Michael Jackson's notorious California property. Now, they are mostly statues, and the owner will not sell them individually, so you can't just like a garage sale, go in and buy one item. Instead, the entire collection must go as a whole collection. And the asking price is, do you want to guess?
I can't. I mean, art is so ridiculously priced. I have no idea.
$2.5 million.
Well, that's not as bad as I thought, though.
Now, if you're wondering what you get for $2.5 million.
Yeah.
You will get numerous statues of children, including one sculpture named, quote, Kids and Tree Swing.
All right, this is fucking weird.
I know. Another called Follow the Leader. Yet another one called Young Boy and Companion.
Oh, my God.
Which is a young boy with a little dog, by the way,
because okay.
I looked at the photo. And Boy Playing Handbell. And then there were many others. I don't even know. If I had $2.5 million to just spend, I'm not sure I would do that. I don't know.
Isn't it funny that the average person in the world more so than anybody, will never see $100,000 or $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yet these people can actually talk about that like it's not that big of a deal. That's insane.
Yeah.
Imagine selling some of your clothes for that kind of money when the average person has a garage sale and hopes to make 50 cents on a
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching another Netflix thing. It's with, God, what's her name? It's called Pretend It's a City. She did it with Martin Scorsese. Her name's slipping me. Fran Lebowitz, I think it was. Anyway, she's a writer, comedian, and she's talking about the art auctions, how they auction off the art. Because it's so funny at the art auctions, when they reveal the piece of art, nobody claps for the piece of art, right? It's just quiet. Until they start auctioning it off, and then when they sell it, everyone starts clapping at the price that they sold it for millions and millions of dollars. But nobody appreciates the art, but, oh, he bought it for $2.5 million. That's great.
Right. They probably don't even like it.
Yeah.
They bought it because it was worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of posturing.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at this art. It's not as weird as I thought it would be, but just the fact
no.
that he's got all these little boy statues is a little weird.
No, there are also many historical statues, including one. It's a marble Roman bust, you know, like head mm-hmm. and shoulders, and also Napoleon crossing the Alps. So anyway, I mean, these are, I think they were maybe purchased as collectibles. I'm not sure. And there are also several Cupid statues and candelabra. There's a wooden ship. And there's a Marilyn Monroe statue and a Minnie Mouse figurine, if I recall correctly.
All right. So it's like a tacky thrift store, basically.
Yeah. Anyway, and Ricky, grab the tissue box because I need you to brace yourself for this next news story. Okay?
All right. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Hit me.
Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez have officially broken up.
I saw this. So it was like, this was like the longest breakup ever. They were breaking up, they weren't breaking up, and now they're breaking up.
Yeah, okay. So you already heard the news. Well, 1 month after rampant rumors, you know, surrounding a possible breakup between these two, Jennifer and Alex have confirmed, sadly, they've called off their engagement.
Mm.
Now, on April 15th, the singer and the New York Yankee alum confirmed that they called off the wedding in a statement to E! News. They said, quote, "We have realized we are better as friends and look forward to remaining so," the two said. Quote, "We will continue to work together and support each other on our shared businesses and projects." Uh-oh, so they do have shared enterprises. That's not good.
Next in business with pleasure.
Yeah. And Lopez, who shares 13-year-old twins Emmy and Max with her ex-husband Mark Anthony. Remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I have followed all of her relationships. This is really sad.
She's kind of like Jennifer Aniston, like nothing sticks.
Oh, don't say that about Jennifer. We're going to be talking about Jennifer. I love her.
Oh, she's coming up. All right.
Anyway, where was I? Let's see. Rodriguez, he has two daughters, but they added, quote, "We wished the best. They wished the best for each other and one another's children." So they said, out of respect for them, the only other comment we have is to say thank you to everyone who has sent kind words and support.
All right.
So this
Mike,
is
there's
one...
still a chance. J-Lo's single.
Oh.
Wow. Wonder if you would go out with me. I got a broken phone.
Yeah, well, you got to get that fixed pronto, hon.
Yeah, so. I better hurry up and fix this before I get written up in a book.
No, Ricky, weren't we talking last show? What celebrity or who's the celebrity that we could get behind for president? And this was, now we've got Mike. We actually mentioned J-Lo.
Yeah,
so,
well, Mike's running.
I think I'm... Yeah, so I think I got to switch my vote now. So I was all for J-Lo last week, but now Mike. But anyway, I'm digressing. So
which,
I'm
Mike, worst. That would make you the first Italian president, no? Has there been an Italian president?
Yeah, I would think so. At least the first wise ass. I so want to do it. I really do.
I mean, why not?
There was a time where I was making videos about it and what I would do. Then I made a web series about it called Make America Italian Again, started getting millions of views on the internet. And then I thought to myself, well, really, what if I was?
Yeah, like
legit. Because sometimes I think we have people who run the country that they know what it's like to be rich.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody who knows what it's like to be broke.
Uh-huh.
And say, hey, listen, we can't afford this. We can't be doing what we're doing. And would you people start arguing with you? Stop it. Stop fighting with each other. Enough's enough. We don't have to have Republican, Democrat. Let's just get along. You say how you like it. You say how you like it. And we'll find a happy medium. Stop already.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. I tell you, your mom would have a blast in the kitchen at the White House hosting state dinners, right?
She'd be going up to people going, what do you mean? You don't like it? You slapped her right in the back of the head. She didn't even touch your meatballs. What kind of guy are you? What, you don't like my cooking? Get the hell out of here. Oh, you're too good for this place.
Aw.
I love
That's
it.
Funny.
I give speeches and I let my mother interrupt me. Mr. President, we got questions. Hold on, my mother wants to talk to me. We got national television. What do you want, Mom? Busy.
Oh, that's so
funny. What do you
mean,
what time am I coming home? We live in the White House.
You would have to bring your mom to the White House.
That would be hilarious, wouldn't it? You're giving a speech, and all of a sudden you hear an old lady with a spoon and macaroni. You're late. Where are you?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, Michael. My mother would feed everybody.
I know.
I had an argument with the guy from North Korea. Well, let me call him for you. What's the matter with you guys? You got to get along. I'm going to write a whole new TV series.
Yeah.
On your show.
Can you imagine? You know, she just pops into the Oval Office and, you know.
Little Rocket Man.
Who are you calling?
Little Rocket Man.
I'm calling the leader of the North Korea. What's his name? Kim. Oh, it's a girl? No. It's a guy. There's a guy named Kim. Yeah, well, it's different over there.
It's different.
You can't get mad at all the people. They don't know. They don't care.
Oh, no.
Hey, but Kim. Anyway. Kimmy, what are you doing?
Yeah. Now, also in the news in New York, a parent is suing to overturn laws making incest illegal. Because
hey, this is your neck of the wood, Mike.
Yeah, I guess.
Because this person wants to marry their own child, adult child.
Okay.
So, oh boy. Yeah, this is not an Arkansas story or anything.
Yeah, you would think.
Now, the parent filing the lawsuit seeks to remain anonymous because their request is, quote, an action that is that a large segment of society views as morally, socially, and biologically repugnant, according to the court papers. So probably the only smart decision through this whole thing, try to remain anonymous. Now, the legal documents filed give practically no identifying information, and the documents fail to identify who these potential newlyweds are, or their gender, or their ages, or hometowns, or anything about the nature of their relationship except to say that they are both legal adults.
This
Weird.
Is bizarre. I'm assuming like they don't, the parent didn't raise the child. Maybe they were separated.
Ugh, but still.
I'm just trying to make sense and make it okay? I'm trying
no, you
to get
can't.
There.
You can't. You're drinking. So well, you
as
cannot.
As far as I'm concerned, to the average person in the world, you think it's disgusting. But maybe these people are different. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe they won't find someone to fall in love with, or maybe they found the person that they think that they fell in love with. As long as they're not hurting anybody, maybe it's not that big of a deal. Maybe it's really not that bad. Because if you do go back in history, there were people who immigrated to the United States, and I know this for sure, in the Italian culture, they married within themselves.
Kissing cousins, yeah.
Kissing cousins.
Really?
Well, and again, to go back to it, the royal family, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on there, too, because they wanted to keep that pure bloodline.
Oh, yeah, that's a pure bloodline, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, sis, you want to go to the prom?
Now, if you didn't know, incest is a third-degree felony under New York law.
Felony.
And it's punishable by up to 4 years behind bars. And also, incestuous marriages are considered void, with the spouses also facing a fine up to 6 months in jail. While the ultimately the courts, of course, have to decide this case, but I'm going to take a wild guess, prediction, that it'll all be denied.
Yeah, probably.
If I was a judge, I'd be like, you people really didn't bring this into the court, did you? Can't you deal with your own lives? I mean, come on. Get out of here.
Now, also, guys, the Friends reunion is really happening. And here's everything we need to know about the reunion of all of our favorite Friends characters. So the Friends reunion, which has been rumored, as you may know, practically forever, it's finally officially really happening. All six Friends stars will reunite for an unscripted special for HBO Max. And both HBO Max and the cast are pretty hush-hush about the reunion special, but we do know a few details. According to a press release, Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, Matthew Perry, and David Schwimmer have all committed to reprising their roles in the new special, which will be executive produced by Friends creators Marta Kaufman and David Crane, as well as producer Kevin Bright.
They're doing better than Sex and the City, where they couldn't get Samantha back on.
That's right. They got everybody back.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now, are both of you fans of the Friends show? Did you watch it?
I didn't really watch it that much. I would watch reruns from time to time.
Yeah, I'd see it in passing, late night. You know, they would do the reruns.
Well, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I love Seinfeld. Oh, we need a Seinfeld reunion.
Another one that I watched, of course, Cynthia hates it. Frasier, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I was on Frasier.
Were you?
Were you really?
All right, what's the episode?
I was on a few episodes as a police officer. Still get residuals.
Nice.
What was the episode?
You're welcome. I still watch it.
I pulled $5 every year. I pulled Frasier over because he was out with a girl who was a hooker, but it was a guy.
Oh.
Yeah, it was one of those. I don't remember. That's a while ago.
Now, as far as the Friends reunion, they're shooting in Burbank, California, and they have actually already wrapped up filming already. And the release date is November 2021. Wow. And let's see. Oh, Bridgerton. I have some Bridgerton news. I know you were talking about Bridgerton, Ricky.
Yeah, so you can use your new device. What's coming up?
Yeah, no, I do not have one. I really don't want one. But anyway, and Bridgerton has been renewed for season 3 and a season 4.
See, we might need the device. There's more seasons to come in many ways.
Well, you know, Kim Kardashian, do you recall she's been very vocal about this. She watches it and tweets real time about Bridgerton. So anyway.
Well, it makes sense. She's newly single.
Now, although if you watched the show, Reggae Jean Page, who is like the hunky lead of season 1, you're not going to see him in season 2.
Right.
But of course, the show must go on. So they are they're actually currently filming season 2 without him. And they're excited about another series. And, you know, the Bella Bajaria, VP of Global Television at Netflix, says that, quote, Bridgerton swept us off our feet, and that they are super excited for the plans for the future. And he says, we think audiences will continue to swoon for this show. We're planning to be in the Bridgerton business for a long time to come. So that comes as good news.
There you go.
And I wish I could be on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Why do you want to be on Kardashian's show?
Well, I would have my own spinoff. It would be like I couldn't keep up with the Kardashians.
Barely keeping up with Mike. That would be your show.
I want to date Kim. I'd be like, Kim, listen, I could hardly keep up with you, baby, but you need to buy me a phone.
You got to start posting, you know, like social media posts.
Let her know.
Romance her, Mike.
Well, she listens to the show, so she's going to find out. So it's.
Oh,
it's
really?
Of course.
What
yeah.
are you doing, baby? It's me, Mike. You know, from the thing.
From the thing.
Hey, listen, I'm getting my phone fixed. We can get together now. And I got this book. I know how to treat a girl. It's called How to Leave an Asshole. Oh, and you should see the vibrator I got for $100.
It's all coming together.
I could give you an orgasm from New Jersey. You have to be in the same room.
You're going to be all set, Mike.
And you'll be her second husband that's run for president.
Oh, no kidding. That's right.
Yeah, Kanye ran. So I think you'll do better. Yeah.
You know, my son ran for some office in Pensacola, and he told me he got more votes than Conway.
Conway. He's Irish.
It's the scotch.
All right.
Anyway, that wraps up the news.
All right, we got more with Mike Marino. Quick break. We're going to be talking about what Mike has got going on, his comedy, right after the break. Stick around.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back here on the Ricky Worley Show, we've got Jersey's bad boy of comedy. He is a presidential candidate for 2024, as we have discussed. He's actor, stand-up comedian, and the host of the podcast Live from My Mother's Basement, Mike Marino. All right, Mike, so you mentioned earlier you started doing this at 5 years old. What happened at five?
Oh, you know, I always wanted to be an actor, so when the family would come over, I was the middle child, and I would impersonate celebrities. I would impersonate TV commercials. I would impersonate actors on soap operas. I just always wanted to entertain. I'd do anything for a laugh. So when I got to grammar school and high school, junior high, I was in the plays. I was always on stage somewhere, somehow. I went to acting school at the age of 14 in New York. And then I went to the American Academy in New York City when I was about 19. So I've just always wanted to entertain from a very, very young age.
So it started with the acting.
Oh, yeah, I never wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I never even thought I'd be a comedian. I just thought, well, what the heck, I can. I will play the role of a comic, and that's what I did. So when I was in Los Angeles, I was probably 29, and that's when I thought, okay, well, let me go crack some jokes, see if I can master that.
So this is your first time hopping on stage doing stand-up?
My first time hopping on stage was in New Jersey. I went to a place where they were doing an open mic,
yeah,
and they were giving away $50 to the winner. And I'm like, you know what? I could use $50. So I jumped on stage. I made fun of my mother, and I won the $50. Because I had such thick acting training,
yeah,
it was easier for me to just become a comedian. And
is it because
I was addicted?
You feel like you're on stage and like you're doing a character, like,
yeah,
the stand-up comedian is a character.
Yes, exactly. New Jersey's bad boy is a character from my regular personality, and then that's why I started developing the other characters. Like my Uncle Tommy, the character Michelle, and the
surfer
character
dude.
Mooney. They're all people who I know.
Yeah.
My Uncle Tommy's no longer alive, but he was the greatest and the funniest uncle. He said the craziest thing, so I figured, well, let me imitate him. I used to do impersonations long before I ever thought I'd be a stand-up comic. Then I stopped doing the impersonations. I got into my own routine, and now I do the characters because of the internet, and it's fun. And it lets people know in the acting world that I actually have a range of characters. So
yeah,
if I start doing some acting, I mean, I could be a girl if I needed to be.
Well, that's debatable.
I know I don't look so good, but I can.
Oh, you look great. I want to know who you played on One Life to Live.
You talk in my early 20s. I think the show was on the air then. I don't even know if it's on anymore.
Yeah, because I used to watch it a long time ago, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I wonder if I saw you.
I think back in the 70s and the 80s, you would go on these shows, and you'd have five lines. They called it an under five. Then you would become a day player. Then everybody started to know who you were, and you would shuffle on to other shows because they shot them pretty much all in the same building in New York City. when there was soap after soap after soap. It was the thing to do. My mother used to wash the soaps. But I went on a bunch of the different soaps. But the main soap that I was on for quite some time, maybe a year and a half, was As the World Turns. And I went on As the World Turns just to do 5 lines one day. And they liked me. So about a few months goes by, they said, we're going to add you to a storyline. So when I went back and got added to the storyline, I was in scenes with Marissa Tomei and Meg Ryan, who were not stars at the time.
Yeah.
They were just kids like me. And they just liked me because I was playing a bit of a punk. And the other two guys, I guess, got fired. And then they reinstated 2 more guys. And then we were on the show for quite some time. It was me, this other tough guy, and a girl. And we were like the antagonists to the stars of the show. And it just kept on going. But there was a year where they didn't know how much longer they were going to keep me on the show. And I had an opportunity to go to Italy for 3 weeks to make a TV commercial for Join the Navy, See the World. And, you know, back in the 80s, TV commercials would make a boatload of money. Whereas on the As the World Turns, you're making $350 a day.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to Italy.
Right.
And I left, and I went to Italy to do these TV commercials as a sailor in the Navy, joined the Navy, See the World, and we shot all over Italy. And when I came back, the Achille Laurel got hijacked out of Sperlonga, Italy, and they canceled all the ads.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
I was like, can I come back on the show? We put you in jail. Thank you. But, you know, that's just the showbiz. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I thought I was going to be on a soap. I never even knew they were going to be beating me up, or that you never even knew Meg Ryan was going to be a star.
Right,
she was 19 years old. She was dating a friend of mine. We used to go to her house down in the village. She was a tiny little twig of a girl.
Yeah.
These are the true stories of what happens. Do you remember the movie, A Christmas Story?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's famous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now you remember the guy who sticks his tongue to the pole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, his character name was Flick. And his name is Schwartz. Oh, my God, I'm going to forget his first name. He's a very good friend of mine. Scotty Schwartz. Scotty, right? Scotty was in the movie A Christmas Story and maybe the toy. He wanted somebody to be a toy for him. I don't know if you remember this. And that toy was Richard Pryor, and Jackie Gleason was in the movie. Anyway, I used to ride the bus with him to New York every day. He would go to the Performing Arts Center for actors. I was going to the American Academy. I always wanted to be him. Do you know you don't see him anymore?
Yeah, it's true.
You know what he does now? He goes to these little places and he sells memorabilia.
Really?
Like Comic-Con kind of things?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I went to go see him sign autographs in a toy store. And when I walked into the toy store, people were looking at me like, isn't that the comedian? And I'm like, we're here for my buddy Scott.
Oh.
And I, you know, you feel really, really bad. Because he was such a cute little kid.
Yeah, you come up together.
He's not a cute little kid anymore. He's an adult.
Yeah. You can ride that train for so long, right?
Yeah, that's why I tell so many people, be careful.
Yeah.
You're going to go up. You might go through the roof.
Yeah.
But you're going to come back down.
Mm-hmm. You see that with like Macaulay Culkin and, you know, a lot of these kid stars that were huge.
Yes, exactly.
And now,
where are they?
Are
you familiar with Dane Cook?
Yeah. What happened to Dane Cook? Holy cow, he was selling out arenas.
Arenas. How does that happen?
And he's nowhere to be found.
Where is he?
$1 million man. He's in L.A.
Doing what?
Well, because of the pandemic, I guess he's not doing much.
Yeah.
But before the pandemic, I don't know if he was doing extremely a lot. But what a tragedy. The guy goes from being a multimillionaire to God knows what.
Yeah, he had fun timing, too. He was a good comedian.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everybody makes fun of the guy. And you're like, don't make fun of somebody who can actually achieve a goal that's unachievable.
Yeah.
In the world we're finding ourselves, is it hard to do comedy in today's climate, or is it easier? I mean, do you feel like you're having to dance around like, oh, can't say that? Or as a comedian, do you get a free pass?
I think as a comedian, you can get a free pass. However, you do have to dance now more than anything because you never know what knucklehead's going to be in the room looking to cause a problem.
And then it just blows up.
I never had a problem with anybody because I tell people all the time, I'm not the show you want to be at if you're offended. Get up and get out.
Yeah.
And I'm not cancel culture, I cancel you. I'm gonna say what I want, do what I want, and be the way I want. And if you don't like it, just get out. You don't have to be here. Because what is cancel culture? They're the people who tell you you don't have the right for freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, wait a minute now. We have freedom of speech, right? So if I can't say what I want to say, what did you just do? You didn't cancel my culture. You stopped freedom of speech.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like one of my favorite comedians of all times, now past, Don Rickles, how could he get along in a world like today?
Yeah.
You know, that guy could say anything.
Yes. Well, he was around at a time where it was actually funny because people knew it was okay to laugh at yourself. If you don't laugh at yourself and we're all serious, how boring is this world going to be?
Yeah.
When people say to me, you're Italian? Wow, you must eat pasta all the time. I'm not offended.
Right.
It's true. We do. So when other people say, oh, you're this, you must do this all the time. Well, yeah, it's funny.
I always say it's a stereotype because it's true.
Right.
There's a difference between, you know, hateful, racist kind of things versus stereotypes, I think.
That's right.
It's proven itself, no?
March 13th of last year, a woman called me and said, we'd like you to entertain at my mom's birthday party. She's going to be 80. I said, your mother's 80 years old and she wants me? She goes, yes, we all saw you in Vegas. We think you're great. And I says, okay. And they made me a very financially incredible offer, which included a flight, room and board, a hotel, and a nice payday.
Nice.
She said to me, there's going to be about 300 people there. And just to let you know, we're all black. And I said, what? She said, we're all black. And I go, okay. Why'd you ask me? She goes, you're my mother's favorite comedian. I said, okay, no problem. And I got there. Now, I cut my teeth in the hood. So I know how to do this type of a crowd.
Right.
And I know how to do a Latino crowd. You know what you do? Nothing different. You do you.
Yeah.
Because if you acknowledge that something's different, you're going to go down. But right. If you just be you, why wouldn't they think you're funny?
Yeah.
You talk about food. They eat food. You talk about dating. They go out on dates. You talk about getting old, having aches and pains. They get aches and pains. It's the same. So when they introduced me and the lady said, you're probably wondering who the white boy is in the back of the room. And everybody's turned around and started looking. And she goes, well, he ain't the help. He's the comedian for tonight. And I started cracking up. So when I went on stage, I says, I don't know why she said white boy, I'm Italian. And the place fell on the floor. And then all I talked about was my life. Standing ovation, tons of friends, more jobs, more pitches, more love. Aww. Everybody can take a ride if you talk about what's real.
Yep.
And I'm happy that I can do that because that means I could hit any market.
Yeah, I think right. That's kind of one of the freedoms of being a comedian is that you can say kind of these edgy things that anybody can't say. I mean, look at what's happening with Piers Morgan and Sharon that we were talking about earlier. Like, she really didn't say anything that was so outlandish, and she's been canceled from her TV show. Had she been maybe a comedian, I think that it wouldn't have happened.
These are very wealthy people. Maybe they don't need to be on television anymore. It is kind of stupid that you can't have freedom of speech after everybody tells you that you should.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in these times some people should just keep their mouth shut, but they're afraid or that they feel like they need to.
Yeah. I want to know question, but I'm curious. We talked about Seinfeld. I know you did some stuff on The Tonight Show, but who are your comedic influences, would you say, especially from an early age?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to have all of Rodney Dangerfield's albums, and I would listen to Rodney. And I used to imitate Rodney. I wanted to be like Rodney. I also listened to George Carlin, and I used to imitate him. Somewhere, somehow, I ended up being the opening act for Andrew Dice Clay, which was a mega high. I couldn't believe that that actually happened. And now I'm friends with those guys. Well, I mean, Andrew, because he's alive. But
yeah, what's Dice doing these days?
He's actually touring like a fiend. He's everywhere. He was just in Florida making a TV series called Gravesend. He's been in a lot of movies. You know, he's working. He's really working. You know, he's the first guy to sell out Madison Square Garden as a comedian at a time where there was no such thing as Facebook.
Being younger, I discovered him because when he was on Entourage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when he did Entourage. And then I went and looked up, you know, looked him up on YouTube, and with the nursery rhymes, I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy.
Speaking of Entourage, Jeremy Piven does stand-up now.
Yeah, I just heard he was on, I want to say he was on Carolla's show or something, and he was talking about that. He's doing stand-up now.
He does. We're seeing him all the time over at the Laugh Factory.
So in the Laugh Factory, you're talking, this is out in L.A.?
Yes, correct.
So tell me about, I think this was in 2016, was the, you kind of alluded to it earlier, the Make America Italian Again on YouTube series.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm like, wait, is this The Sopranos? And then I see, is that De Niro?
Yeah. We did a mockumentary on if The Sopranos was going to get into the White House, and the guy who is Robert De Niro is Robert Nash, and he's an impersonator. So he looked so much like him that everybody thought I was working with De Niro. It was hilarious.
I mean, I had to take not only a second take, but a third. I'm like, wait, is that him?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it, but there's a scene where he sits into the frame and I says, what are we going to do about this Trump? And he goes, you let me take care of Trump. And he looks just like him. And all my friends were like, Marino, man, you're working with De Niro. I'm like, no, you fool.
But he's good. That was close.
He's great. He really looks like him.
And your Trump guy's good, too.
John DeDominica, he's in Las Vegas, and John is now the number one Trump impersonator, and he's making a fortune.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure.
He does a lot of people, though. I think he does like 20 different people.
So I know we were talking some places like here in Florida have been open through all this, but what's the touring situation been like for you, you know, this past year?
Well, it was pretty brutal. And most of the things that I did get to do was Florida. For New Year's Eve, I was at Fasani's Comedy Club in Port Charlotte, Florida. Then I went to Naples to Off the Hook Comedy Club. This past tour was also Off the Hook Comedy Club, and then Boca, Black Box, and Boca Raton.
And so how's it looking going forward as things start to open up? Are you seeing some more?
I have some shows this weekend here in New Jersey, and then following week I got some upstate New York, and the following week back to Los Angeles.
I'm excited to see more out on the road. I'm sure, I mean, you got to get your energy, right, from being out on the road, that live feedback from the audience.
Yeah, you ain't kidding, man. I really miss all of that.
Do you have, like, a little pre-show ritual that you go through?
Yeah, sometimes if it's a big event, I'll go backstage and pray. I'm like, come on, God, make this happen. But, I mean, I was doing theaters with 1,000 people, 1,500 people. Now we're going all the way back down to clubs, which is not that big of a deal, you know, a couple hundred, but I hope I could get that fan base back again.
Yeah.
Oh, you will.
All right, real quick, before we go, we're going to do a quick game of Ricky's Rapid Fire. I'm just going to throw some questions at you, get some quick answers.
I love this.
All right, if you could have a beer with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Madonna.
Madonna?
Good answer.
Yeah.
Why Madonna?
Because she's a virgin.
She's like a virgin, all right?
I'm sure she doesn't have one of those devices that we were looking at earlier. Yeah.
No, I'm sure she does.
Oh, yeah, she wrote the sex book.
No, she's got a 20-year-old. Isn't her boyfriend like 20-something? What's the last illegal thing you did?
Stole furniture from a hotel.
What? You steal from the hotel?
Furniture, a love seat.
No way.
I wanted it. It was really nice. Nobody said anything.
Right.
They didn't know.
You didn't get the extra charge to the room, no?
No. Who takes chairs?
That's true.
It probably was Marino.
They're like, yeah, it probably wasn't in there to begin with. What'd you want to be when you grew up? An actor, I assume?
I did, yeah.
You're stuck on a desert island. You can only have one musical album or one artist. Who would it be other than Madonna?
The Beatles.
That's good. Favorite TV show to binge right now?
The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah. Oldie.
Yeah.
And last one, what's one thing that annoys you the most?
Assholes.
Oh, you're my kind of guy.
Check it out, the website, mikemarino.net. You're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube at Mike Marino Live. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show. Love your comedy. Love what you're doing. You were talking a TV show maybe coming up here. We need to keep our eyes peeled.
Yeah, you know, me and some really great producers wrote a TV series. We're going to just say it's the Mike Marino Project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about me growing up in the basement here in my tiny little house in New Jersey,
We will make everybody happy. We'll make everybody laugh. So we really hope that that goes. And if anybody wants to tune in every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock live from my mother's basement.
Yeah, the podcast, anywhere you get podcasts, check that out. Keep us posted on that project. And Mike, always welcome back on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, man, thank you very, very much. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
Did you record this?
Shit, I forgot.
Take three.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Let's go refill on our drinks and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Well, like we say every week, cheers, Mike. Thanks again.
Cheers.
Oh, thanks, Mike.